بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The concept of zuhd, the understanding of the Salaf, and the bid'ah innovation of the mystic Sufis. First of all, what is zuhd? Zuhd is to lead a pious life, devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking the least that is sufficient of the lawful things of this life. This is the meaning of zuhd. The deen of Allah has been perfected. It urges the believer to direct his life in accordance with the way of the deen, so that he receives the great rewards of Allah in the hereafter. It stands towards this life is perfect, because it comes from the All Perfect, the All Wise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It demands that the objective of the believer should not be the life of this world, because the life of this world has been created to be subservient to the believer, not the other way around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 20, من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. Whoever desires with his deeds the reward of the hereafter, we give him increase in his reward. And whosoever desires the reward of this world with his deeds, we give him thereof what is written for him, and he has no portion in the hereafter. And he has no portion in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. The life of this world is the prison of the believer, and the Jannah, paradise, for the kafir, for the disbeliever. This, however, does not mean a complete neglectfulness of this life. The call for zuhd is to lead a pious life devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking the least that is sufficient of the lawful things of this life. It does not mean to abandon lawful means of earning property, children, and so forth, nor exaggerating in performing acts of worship. Zuhd does not require that a believer must be poor in order to gain the mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. In Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 31-32, O children of Adam, take your adornment by wearing your clean clothes while praying and going around the circulation of the Kaaba. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. And eat and drink, but waste not by extravagance. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Certainly Allah likes not the extravagant. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, who has forbidden the adoration with clothes given by Allah, which He has produced for His slaves, and at-tayyibat, all kinds of halal, lawful things of food? Who has done this? Say, they are in the life of this world for those who believe, and exclusively for them, the believers, on the day of resurrection. Meaning the disbelievers will not share them. Thus we explain the ayat, the Islamic laws, in detail for people who have knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further states in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 77, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. But seek with that wealth which Allah has bestowed on you the home of the hereafter, and forget not your portion of legal enjoyment in this world, and do good as Allah has been good to you, and seek not mischief in the land. Verily Allah likes not the mufsideen, those who commit great crimes and sins, tyrants, mischief makers, corrupted people, etc. When Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, the companion, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the early companions who accepted Islam, and one of the ten whom the Prophet ﷺ brought good news that they would enter paradise, he shared in the battle of Badr and Uhud, and was one of the six members of the Shura Council, which Umar ibn al-Khattab chose to appoint the new Khalifa after Umar was stabbed. Sa'd was the first to shoot an arrow at the mushriks in jihad. He led the Muslims in taking over Iraq from the Persians after defeating them in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah in the 15th year of Hijrah, corresponding to 634. He died in the 55th year after Hijrah, corresponding to 675. May Allah be pleased with him. He, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, was asked, or asked rather the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whether he can will back with all of his property in charity. The Prophet ﷺ told him to give only one third of it, and said, وَالثُّلُثُ كَثِيرٌ إِنَّكَ إِن تَدَعَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَاءَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَن تَدَعَهُمْ عَالَةً يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسَ فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ. In the agreed upon hadith, when Sa'd asked about it, about the will, what should he leave for his family, the Prophet ﷺ admonished him by saying, one third is too much. It is better for you to leave your inheritors wealthy than to leave them poor, begging from others. And this is an agreed upon hadith. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam invoked Allah to grant abundant wealth to Anas bin Malik. May Allah be pleased with him. Anas reported عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قالت أمي يا رسول الله خادمك أنس أدعو الله له قال اللهم أكثر ماله وولده وبارك له فيما أعطيته. Narrated Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, my mother said, O Allah's messenger, please invoke Allah on behalf of your servant Anas. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, invoking Allah, O Allah, increase his wealth and children, and bestow your blessings on whatever you give him. And this is an agreed upon hadith. There are many other texts in the Quran and all the authentic Sunnah which teach the medium course of this deen in its acts of worship, as well as in its codes for living this life in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, quote, The beneficial lawful zuhd is the one which is beloved to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is the renunciation of that which is of no benefit in the hereafter. It is the renunciation of that of that which is of no benefit in the hereafter. However, he continued, renouncing what is beneficial for the hereafter, as well as the means that are helpful in this regard, is a kind of renunciation of Allah's worship and of His obedience. Then he said, the true zuhd is sought because it is a renunciation of what is harmful or things that have no benefit. The zuhd regarding beneficial matters is ignorance and deviation from the right path. End of quote. This is in his book Majmu' al-Fatawa, in his collection. Then what about the zuhd of the mystics? The zuhd according to the mystic Sufis completely contradicts the essence of the zuhd laid down in the Quran, authentic Sunnah, and the understanding and the practice of the righteous predecessors. It centers upon the following matters. Number one, poverty should be the main objective. One of their prominent figures said, quote, "I like for the beginner not to make his heart busy with the matter of earning for his living, otherwise his state would change." End of quote. This is found in Abu Talib al-Makki's Qut al-Qulub. In the same book, which is one of the references for the mystic Sufis, the following saying is attributed to Abu Yazid al-Bustami, a master in the Sufi path. He said, quote, "I have attained this state of Sufi knowledge," quote unquote, "by means of a hungry stomach and a naked body." End of quote. Nuh Hamim Kalar, a Sufi mystic of the so-called Shadili Tariqa, Shadili Order, and a compiler of a book entitled Reliance of the Traveler, described Abu Talib al-Makki as, quote, "a Sufi preacher, ascetic, and a scholar of sacred law." End of quote. And he referred to al-Makki's book, Qut al-Qulub, which I quoted from, as, quote, "the sustenance of the heart," as, quote, "his most influential work." End of quote. In reality, however, one finds in this book strange reports, corrupt creed, and fabricated stories and hadith. So back to the point. The zuhd with the mystics centers upon the following matters. Number one, poverty should be the main objective to them. Secondly, a call to abandon marriage and seeking hadith as well. And this is attributed to the Sufi master Al-Junayd. In the same book, which is Qut al-Qulub. In fact, Al-Ghazali related the same saying of Al-Junayd when he quote said, "I like for the starting Sufi disciple," which they call him Murid, "not to occupy his heart in the three things, otherwise his condition will change." Then he named these three things. Number one, seeking to gain sustenance. Look at this. Seeking knowledge of hadith. And three, marriage. This is in Ihya Ulum al-Din, Volume 4, page 239. The third, attributed to another Sufi master by the name of Ibn al-Quraini, who is a teacher of al-Junayd, in which he says that he subdued himself into humiliation for 20 years until he became like that of a dog. This is in the same book, Qut al-Qulub, which Nuh Hamim Kalar says about his most influential work. End of quote. Fourth, hunger is the food of the Zahid, according to them. Zahideen, meaning people of Zuhd. Al-Sha'rani, another mystic Sufi, reported that Rabah bin Amr al-Qaisi said, quote, "A man would not attain the level of the Siddiqeen." Siddiqeen meaning one who eminently or always accepting or confirming the truth in his saying, belief and deeds. He said, "One will not attain this stage until he leaves his wife as if she was a widow, his kids as if they are orphans, and take refuge in dog houses." End of quote. Al-Sha'rani also reported that one of the celebrated Sufi mystics by the name of Abdul Rahman al-Majdub cut off his own private part in the beginning of his state of Sufi Jadb, which is a mystic state in the stages of Sufism. End of quote. Another mystic, Ibrahim bin Usayfir, was, according to the Sha'rani, quote, a man having a great deal of kashf, and this is another mystic term used by the Sufis, which refers to direct revelation from Allah. This is one of its meanings. He used to come to the town riding a wolf or a hyena, and to walk on water having no need for a boat. His urine was as white as milk. Most often he slept in a church, and he used to say, the Christians, unlike Muslims, don't steal shoes in the church. End of quote. He invalidated the fasting of the Muslims who ate chicken and mutton meat. Only those who, like the Christians, don't eat mutton meat, their fast is correct as far as this mystic or Saifir is concerned. 8. He also reported that another Sufi mystic by the name of Yaqut al-Arshi, who died in the year 707, married the daughter of his sheikh, Abu al-Abbas al-Mursi. She stayed with him for 18 years, but he never touched her, being shy from her father. He left her while she was still a virgin. End of quote. 9. A man who used to fast throughout the year and offer salah through the night for 30 years. He was one of the regular attendants of the circle of Abu Yazid al-Bastami, one of the mystic masters. Nevertheless, he was unable to find the kind of knowledge which Abu Yazid possessed. So Abu Yazid taught him that even if he fasts for 300 years and offers salah throughout the nights of such period, he would not be able to find even an ant weight of such mystic knowledge. When he asked about the cure, Abu Yazid told him that he should shave his head and beard, hang a nose bag filled with nuts around his neck, gather some kids in the market around him and tell them, everyone who slaps me once, I will give him a nut. The story goes that he should continue in his manner, on this manner, and that this is the way to attain the mystic knowledge of Abu Yazid. And when the man was astonished from what he had heard, he exclaimed, Subhanallah. Abu Yazid replied, you are saying Subhanallah is shirk, prescribing partners to Allah. The man said, explain to me how. Abu Yazid answered, because you magnified yourself and فَسَبَّحْتَهَا, you made tasbih of it and did not make tasbih of your Lord. Is this the way to attain knowledge? You often hear the mystic Sufis say, quote, you don't know what it means until you become a mystic yourself. It may have what they call a hidden meaning, as the Sufis try to deceive the Muslims with their mystic terminology. Abu Yazid, an example for many mystic Sufis, devoted himself to Allah, and he had the determination to restrain himself, quote, from drinking water and from sleeping for 1 year. End of quote. According to them, the mystic term which is called faqir, which literally means the poor, amongst the Sufis used to wander in the land days and nights without food. This further developed into so-called discovery trips around the globe. Abu Yazid, for example, describes mountains. They call them Qaf, a mountain called Qaf, Ain, Saad. These are letters from the Arabic alphabet. They described mountains. They discovered mountains. One called Qaf, the other called Ain, the other called Sad, which according to him surround the lower earths. Around each earth there is a mountain the size of Qaf, which surrounds the earth we live on. Not only that, but one of their mystics climbed Mount so-called Qaf and found Noah's ship laying on top of it. And another one puts his leg on Mount Qaf while sitting in Al-Basra in Iraq. All of these in Qut al-Qulub, highlighted as most influential work by Nuh Hamim Keller. Al-Ghazali, the author of the book Ihya Ulum al-Din, said, quote, amongst the awliya, plural of wali, meaning friends of Allah, are some whom the Kaaba visits and makes tawaf around him. Visits and makes circulation around him, as some people have witnessed. End of quote. These are examples. The list is so long. These are just examples of the mystic stories in this Qut al-Qulub and in Ghazali's Ihya. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah said that in this book Qut al-Qulub, quote, mentioned ugly things with regard to Allah's attributes. This critique by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi is written in the same reference in which Nuh Hamim Keller referred to when he compiled the biography of Abu Talib al-Makki, but he didn't mention that. In addition, Nuh Hamim Keller compiled a biography of Abu Yazid al-Bustami, which we related to you some of his stories, in which he said, quote, when a prominent scholar once asked him, Abu Yazid, meaning from where he had acquired his knowledge, he replied that it was from applying the maxim, whoever applies what he knows, Allah beckwiths him knowledge of what he didn't know. End of quote. How does this compare with the stories above which we have heard? This is just a brief comparison between the true way of Zuhd, of the righteous predecessors, and the mystic ways of, and innovated ways of Zuhd done by the mystic Sufis. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Ummah from all forms of deviation and to guide the misguided. And may Allah the Most High bestow upon all from His mercy and guidance. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ